ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ यश्छन्दसाम् ॐ यश्छन्दसाम् ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छन्दोभ्योऽध्यमृतात् सम्बभूव समेन्द्रो मेधया आस्पृणोतो अमृतस्य देवधारणो भूयासम् शरीरं मे विचर्षणम् जिह्वा मे मधुमत्तमा कर्णाभ्याम्भूरिविश्रवम् ब्रह्मणः कोशोऽसि मेधया पिहितः श्रुतं मे गोपाय ॐ मेधादेवी जुषमाणा न आगात् विश्वाची भद्रासु मनस्यमाना त्वया जुष्टानुदमाना दुरुक्तान् बृहद्वदेम विदथे सुवीराः त्वया जुष्ट ऋषिर्भवति देवे त्वया ब्रह्मागत श्रीरुत त्वया जुष्टश्चित्रम् विन्दते वसुसानो जुषस्वद्रविणो न मेधे मेधाम् इन्द्रो ददातु मेधान् देवी सरस्वती मेधाम् मे अश्विना उभावा धत्ताम् पुष्करस्रजा अप्सरासु च या मेधा गन्धर्वेषु चयन्मनः दैवी मेधा सरस्वती सामाम् मेधा सुरभिर्जुषताम् आमाम् मेधा सुरभिर्विश्वरूपा हिरण्यवर्णा जगती जगम्या ऊर्जस्वती पयसा पिन्वमाना सामाम् मेधा सुप्रतीका जुषन्ताम् मयि मेधाम् मयि प्रजा मयि अग्निस्तेजो दधातु मयीन्द्रियम् दधातु मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु
मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि
मयि यज्ञस्तेजो दधातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयीन्द्र इन्द्रियं ददातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Let's change the speed. No, you have to. You have to get it. No, every time I fetch it, only one word or a stop, you won't learn that. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. श्री भगवानुवाच श्री भगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् लेट् अस् रिमेम्बर् वी आर् इन् द सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् सो साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः द्वितीयोऽध्यायः श्रीभगवानुवाच श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासूनगतासूंश्च गतासूनगतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः न त्वेवाहं जातु नासं न त्वेवाहं जातु नासं न त्वं नेमे जनाधिपाः न त्वं नेमे जनाधिपाः न चैव न भविष्यामः न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम्
सर्वे
वयमतः परम् देहिनोऽस्मिन्यथा देहे देहिनोऽस्मिन्यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति देहिनोऽस्मिन्यथा देहे देहिनोऽस्मिन्यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति
धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति
13th verse I go to 14th verse मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः आगमापायिनो नित्याः आगमापायिनो नित्याः तां स्थितिक्षस्व भारत तां स्थितिक्षस्व भारत मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः आगमापायिनो नित्याः आगमापायिनो नित्याः ताम स्थितिक्षस्व भारत यम हि न व्यथयन्त्येते यम हि न व्यथयन्त्येते यम हि न व्यथयन्त्येते यम हि न व्यथयन्त्येते पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ समदुःखसुखं धीरं समदुःखसुखं धीरं सोमृतत्वाय कल्पते सोमृतत्वाय कल्पते समदुःखसुखं धीरं
समदुःखसुखं
धीरं सोमृतत्वाय कल्पते
सोमृतत्वाय कल्पते
नासतो विद्यते भावो नासते विद्यते भावो नाभावो विद्यते सतः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः दि इंट्रोडक्टरी भाष्यम् एंडेड विद स्टेटमेंट ऑफ शंकरा wherein he said, not seeing any other solution than teaching, giving the knowledge of the nature of the self to uplift Arjuna from sorrow, Krishna started the teaching. And we saw in the 11th verse, we have to remember of the Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, the Tvam Pada meaning is in fact taken for explanation the first six chapters. So when Krishna addressed Arjuna, Tvam Anushochitum Na Arhasi, De Tvam Anvashochaha, you don't need to grieve, and they don't deserve any grief, and you are grieving. In fact, grief itself has no legitimacy. We saw all those things. Antvam ashochyan prati anvashochaha, you grieve for those people or the situations, really speaking, there's nothing to grieve. You don't need to grieve. Anvashochaha. But you speak like a wise person. In fact, wise people do not grieve. Because grief and knowledge, who are the wise people who are blessed with the knowledge of the self are the wise people. We saw Panditaha. See, Panditaha, Panda means knowledge, and Panditaha is one who is blessed with knowledge, one who is endowed with knowledge, is a Panditaha. And he can be, one can be knowledgeable in any field, but here Shastram talks about the wise person who knows the self, who knows the self of the entire Jagat, who knows the truth of everything as the very self. And he is Atmajnaha, Brahmajnaha, Jnani, and he is a Panditaha. Panditaha na anashochanti, you speak like a Pandita but you are grieving like a Pandita. Therefore, the very grief itself, grieving itself is enough, is a proof that you are not a Pandita. That means Panditya means knowledge and grief cannot coexist. Okay? Paraspara viruddha dharma cannot exist in the same locus. There is knowledge, there is also delusion. There is clarity and delusion. How can clarity and delusion coexist? It's like saying light and darkness exist together in one locus, one place. It is not possible. No, therefore, knowledge, the clarity and delusion cannot exist together. And therefore, clarity and sorrow, grief cannot exist together. And you, if you are a Pandita, you can't you can't have grief. If you are grieving, there is no panditam in you. That means the truth. Therefore, you are not a pandita. The very statement he makes very clear. Therefore, panditaha na anushochanti, that one statement quite clearly states, where there is panditam, where there is jnanam, there cannot be grief. Therefore, the only way to get rid of grief, sadness, for good, is one has to know. And know what? Know the self. As what? As the sarupam of one's own self. That is why tvam pada is lakshyarthatvena, as the implied meaning of the tvam, one has to know the substance, the meaning of the word I. Then we saw how there is two prakriyas we use to understand, to arrive at what is the meaning of the word I, what is substance of the substantive I, and we use drishya viveka prakriya, the subject object analysis. We also use another thing, avastha priya prakriya, wherein three states of experience are analyzed. Through that analysis we understand there is consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, and knowing is not its. Okay, consciousness is the substance, which is the abadhitam satyam. Because in drit drishya viveka prakriya, what happens? You negate anything known as an object of knowledge, and to distinguish the subject from the object of knowledge. Understand? So here, similarly, you negate everything. It is easy for an external object, the object and external to the body, to understand as an object of knowledge. Understand? But here, only thing is, when the question of body comes, that is where the difficulty comes, because we can't look at the body as an object, but using the technique, and we understand this body also being an object of knowledge, this also, it is different. Therefore, the subject being different from, how to distinguish the subject from the object of knowledge, to make you understand how the self is not the body. The self, the subject, the self is not the body. And thereby we also saw how the self is not the senses, not the sense powers, not the powers of organs of action, not the five physiological functions, not the mind, not any of the thought which constitute the mind. All different thoughts are objects of knowledge, like anger, desire, ignorance, jealousy, hatred, cheerfulness, all these different memory, even the knowledge that I am. Okay, the knowledge of anything, ignorance of anything, it happens to be a state of mind, is an object of knowledge. So everything is negated as object of knowledge. Anything which is negated as object of knowledge is badhitam. Badhitam means negated as non-self, which is an object. In an object, anything which is an object of knowledge is negated as an object of knowledge. Is abadhitam. It is understood as non-self. Badhitam is non-self. And what is not badhitam, what is abadhitam, is satyam. The truth. The reality. Understand? Which is the meaning of the word I. So we understand that abadhitam, that which cannot be negated anymore. How long can be negated? How long can you go on negating as badhitam, object of knowledge? Okay? Where you stop is a dead end of negations. Negation stops. The knowledge that I am. Okay? The knowledge that I am also happens to be the state of mind, and which is there only in waking state, which is not there in deep sleep state, and thereby you analyze the two states of experience. My God, the knowledge that I am is not there in deep sleep state, it's there in waking state. Therefore, and that then that the knowledge that I am being not there in deep sleep state is understood, then it's also an object of knowledge. The knowledge that I am also is an object of knowledge. Therefore, then that is also negated. And what cannot be negated anymore, what is abadhitam, is that which is there, knowing the knowledge that I am being there, knowing that I am being not there in deep sleep state, not doing anything to know, just by its presence being there. What is that? Because of which, the mind being active and passive is known. Mind being active in waking state is known. Mind in dream state is known. Mind being inactive, passive in deep sleep state is known. That what is that? That is pure consciousness. Where we understand the pure consciousness is of the nature of knowing. The Swarupam is knowledge. That is why without doing any action, just by presence it is able to know. And that the consciousness, which is pure knowledge, which is of the nature of knowing. How do you know it is of the nature of knowing? Because of the presence of which the knowledge that I am being there in the waking state is known. The knowledge that I am being not there in deep sleep state is known. When you wake up from sleep, and that is of the nature, understand, you understand, it's of the nature of knowing, that pure consciousness is the lakshyarthaha, okay, the implied, the substance, the meaning of the word actually I, like meaning of the word wave is water. Similarly, the lakshyartha of tvam is I is what? The shuddha chaitanyam. And the same chaitanyam is the lakshyartha of the word jagat, the Ishwaraha. Okay? The whole universe is, the whole is Ishwara, and tvam, you are an individual. So lakshyartha of the tvam and the lakshyartha of the jagat Ishwara is one and the same. From the standpoint of the lakshyartha of jagat Ishwara and you, there is no difference, there is non-different difference. From the vachyartha of tvam and Ishwara, there is difference. There must be difference, there must be non-difference, and in spite of the difference being there, the non-difference being there is taught through an equation, tat tvam hasi. Therefore, now you know that consciousness, that is, where can you place the I? Do you want to place the I on the body, or on the mind, or on the senses, or on the pranas, or on every thought, or where the knowledge that I am, or where do you want to place the I? Where is I sitting separately? Other than, I also is nothing but the knowledge that I am, is also manifestation. We can say the beautiful, the highest form of manifestation. Like anything else is mine, any wave is as good as any other wave. Like that any, the knowledge that I am also is just the thought wave, which is like any other thing. It's the highest form of manifestation. Understand? Therefore, what is that? It's the pure, pure consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing. Okay? And that consciousness, what is its nature? The nature of knowing, and that is, that has no beginning, that has no end. Therefore, it is not subject to any change. So, beginninglessness is its nature. Endlessness is its nature. I want to use all nessnessness, okay? That's how I had to teach. I had to use Shankara, see. Beginning, so knowing is its swarupam. Beginninglessness is its swarupam. Endlessness is its swarupam. Therefore, changelessness also is its swarupam. The chaitanyam, okay? And therefore, where can you place I? Okay, only when the I, when you limit yourself, when you look at yourself as a limited being because of your identity with this body, mind and complex, then, you know, the shoka is possible, the moha is possible, the shoka is possible, and when shoka is there, and all these sense of belonging, I, mind, etc. is possible, and then you don't understand many subtle, other subtle facts. I told you, it's not simply knowing the self, it's also understanding many subtle facts, which can be understood only in the wake of knowledge of the self being pure consciousness. If unless we understand the subtle facts, we cannot accept the subtle facts. Unless we are able to accept the facts, there's no way of being happy. Denying or not being able to accept the facts only reveals our immaturity. We can continue to be immature and grieve over things. Otherwise, we can try to understand facts and we can become mature. We can try to learn to accept facts. So, Krishna started this. Ashochan anvashochahatvam pragyavadamscha bhashase gatasuna gatasumscha panditaha nanashochanti. Because you are not panditaha. Then he explained what he said. Natu eva aham asam. Natu eva aham. Natvam. Na ime janadipaha. Na asam. Natvam. Na ime janadipaha. Similarly, na bhavishya maha eva. It doesn't mean that we will not be in future. We are not there in past. We were there in the past. We are here now. We will ever be. as Lakshartha of Aham, Tvam and all these things, okay? Lakshartha of Tvam, Aham, Ime is one and the same. But Vachartha, okay, may be different now. And here we have to understand two things. The Anatma and Anatma. Anything negated as object of knowledge is Anatma. Anatma is nothing but Atma. Don't ever think it's two different things, okay? There's no difference. We have to establish oneness. We have to establish non-duality here. Understand? Atma is not the Anatma, but Anatma is nothing but the Atma. Understand? That has to be very, very clear. Water is not the wave, but the wave is nothing but the water. That has to be very, very clear. We say, okay, then that is different, this is different. Where is difference? Okay. Therefore, but you have to understand one thing of these two things. He says, then what happens to then? He has to talk about what about the death then? What about the death? Death is something which causes pain, which causes sorrow. In fact, death. Arjuna heard about the death of all the people there. And death is, in fact, through Arjuna, Bhagavan wants to teach all of us, come on, death is the universal shochya. Okay? And then, which really deserves great. Therefore, understand this. What is death is nothing but the change. A big change. Big change means what? And he talks about the destruction, the concept of destruction. We think destruction means, what do we mean by destruction? When something is destroyed, we think it's destruction. In fact, change of one form into another form also is destruction. But it is not totally destroyed. Either the form is changed. Whatever existed continues to exist. Whatever continues to exist will continue to be existing always. It will never come to an end. The form changes. Okay? That is the nature of Prakriti. That is the nature of the Anatma. Understand? This nature of the matter. Nothing can be stopped from undergoing changes. Change is something which is unchangeable on the part of the Namarupas. Okay? What here you have to understand that two things, Atma and Anatma. Atma is not subject to change. Okay, Anatma is subject to change. You cannot stop Anatma from changing. Therefore, this Atma, the consciousness, this meaning of the word I, the truth of all the beings, in fact, the Lakshyartha of everything here that is there, that consciousness is not subject to relative destruction also. It is, of course, there is no such thing called absolute destruction. I'm repeating it. There is no such thing called absolute destruction. There is only relative destruction, which is change. And this Atma Chaitanyam is not subject to even relative destruction. But Anatma is subject to change, which is relative destruction. And here, in the next shloka, he said, Dehinaha Asmin. There he wanted us to understand the difference, okay? What is it which continues to exist? The subtle manifestation, also the gross body. And this gross body being the combination of five elements, pancha bhautikaha, dehaha, and dehaha itself, the word itself means what? Dahyamanatvat, the dehaha, that which is subject to get burnt. Okay? It produces calories and it destroys calories. So, anadhyate atticha. It eats, it eats, and it is eaten up. Eats. That atti iti annam, adyate iti annam. it is eating, it's eaten up as well. Okay? Therefore it's subject to really get burnt, shidyamana subhavam shariram, subject to get, it has to wear out, okay? That is why it's called a shariram. And this dehaha, jula shariram, it is subject to sixfold modifications, that is its nature. It cannot be stopped. It was not there before, this body was not there before, then it was there from a seed, then it came into existence, jayate, then it goes, vardhate, then viparinamate, undergoes metamorphosis, then apakshiyate, shiyate, then nashyati. These changes you cannot change. This is how this physical body is. Even then, it is a fact about the matter. Is the fact about the nature of the physical body. Not like this gross body, any gross form. Whether it is sentient or insentient, any gross form is like that. And what about the dehi, the one who indwells this physical body in every one of us? What is it which makes this a live body? Okay, what is that in the absence of which, we say it is... We call it a corpse, we call this corpse, and we call it a dead one. We call it, jadam. Jadaha dehaha, when is it said to be dead one? When is it not taken for cremation, burned? No, because what is that which makes it alive? Living body, that is called Dehi. The one who indwells the Deha is Dehi. In fact, Dehin Shabdaha, and that Dehi is what, in fact, nothing but subtle manifestation. Okay, subtle manifestation of the same consciousness. And the subtle, the grass can never destroy the subtle. Please understand, the grass can never destroy the subtle. Therefore, understand, that is what we are going to see later on, other verses, in the following verses, how nothing happens to the subtle. And we call subtle body. I told you all day about subtle body. There's no such thing called body as subtle body. The subtle aspects which indwells the physical body is said to be the subtle body, which is called Dehin, Dehi. And that Dehi, no, has no beginning, doesn't die, doesn't undergo any changes, that is there, okay, seeing, going through, no, see, without undergo any change, it indwells his body, physical body, which undergoes changes. Because when the Dehi, when the physical body, when it is as a child's body, then the Dehi is in child's body. But when it's that childhood dies and the youth begins, okay, the young age begins, then there's no beginning. The death of one thing is the birth of something, and there nothing happens to the Dehi. Dehi continues to be the same without undergoing any changes. Similarly, when the body from being young, when it goes into old body, until this again change, old age, then there is another change. Death of one thing is a birth of another thing. The change, just the change. And then the Dehi continues to be the same. Nothing happens to the Dehi. Similarly, when the body dies, the body falls, then the Dehi continues to be there. It can wait, very much assumes another body, which is a subtle fact, incomprehensible fact for us. But we are going to understand it later on. This is a fact. Gita introduces the fact here. It is going to make us understand how the Dehi continues to exist even when the body falls. Okay? That is why the Dehi does not die? Dehi cannot die. Why? It is not subject to death. It is not subject to any destruction, relative destruction. There is no such thing called absolute destruction. And the Dehi is not subject to even relative destruction. The physical body is subject to relative destruction, which is change, that is its nature. You cannot stop it from happening. Understand the nature of two things. How, Atma, why should we expect what is not subject to change? And why should we expect what is subject to change, no, to be changeless? It expecting means it is, we can't change the nature. Understand, this is how. So, one, those who know these subtle facts, though the one who has understood the consciousness, pure consciousness as the self of the whole jagat, as the self of oneself, as the truth, and such a person, and who has understood all the subtle facts, and he doesn't get affected by any fact, any situation, any happening, and he is a dhiraha. I explained the meaning of the word dhiraha last class. Dhiraha tatra na muhyati. Dhiraha na muhyati. Okay, dehina asmin dehe, dehinaha yatha kaumaram yavanam jara tatha eva dehantra praptihi. Similarly, the assumption, assuming other body also is as natural for the Dehi as us now going through three different stages to remain changeless. The Dehi remains changeless when the body goes through all three different changes as Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara, Tatha. Similarly, Dehi continues to remain changelessly even when it assumes another body. Therefore, Dhiraha na Muhyati. Adhiraha, okay, Muhyati. Muhyati is a nice verb, okay, which is noun of which is mohaha, delusion. Na muhyati, does not get deluded. Therefore, Arjuna, you need to know. You try to become a, not try to become, you become a dhiraha, no other go. You become a dhiraha, get rid of delusion, know what the self is, know what the non-self is, understand the non-self is nothing but the self, but the self is not the non-self. The self is not subject to change, but the non-self is subject to change. Understand the nature of non-self and the self, but understand this non-self being non-separate from the self. Non-self is nothing but the self is not the non-self. This all that you need to understand. Understand? You understand that, then there's no delusion. So further, the doubt may come. Oh, Shankaracharya introduces the Bhashyam here. That's fine. Okay, I can understand the self is not subject to change, self is not subject to death, self is eternal, it has no beginning, no end, everything is fine. But still, there is something called pain and pleasure. Okay, what about these things? These things really afflict me. No, in day-to-day life, there are always situations, you know, which are nothing but pairs of opposites, situations of pairs of opposites. In what way this will help me to understand this, to bear this, because that still I'm afflicted by the pairs of opposites which happen in life. Therefore, Krishna is going to say the next verse. Okay. So he says, Shankaracharya says, yadyapi, page number 30, the 14, number 14 is given. Yadyapi Atma Vinasha Nimittaha Mohaha Na Sambhavati Nityaha Atma Iti Vijanataha. See, Atma Nityaha Iti Kaschit Purushaha Vijanati. Listen here carefully. Kaschit Purushaha Atma Nityaha Iti Vijanati. Somebody knows Atma is Nityaha. Iti. Atma is eternal, he knows. For such a person, for him who knows Atma is eternal, Tasya Vijanataha, Atma Vinasha Nimittaha Mohaha Na Sambhavati. Then he will not be deluded about the Atma being indestructible. Atma Vinasha Nimittaha, delusion regarding Atma, whether Atma is destructible or not, that delusion will not, regarding Atma, there won't be any delusion for the person who knows Atma is eternal. Who knows the Rupma of the Atma? Oh, Atma is Shuddha Chaitanyam, the nature of knowing, which has no beginning, no end. It is, okay? If a person knows, definitely he is free from delusion regarding Atma. But tathapi, even though if he knows, he may be free from the delusion regarding Atma. Atma vinasha nimittaha mohaha. Okay, the delusion regarding that of the Atma, whether Atma is indestructible or not, that delusion is not there for him. He knows Atma is eternal. Tathapi, even if he knows that, Shita, Ushna,
Sukha, Dukha,
Prapti Nimittaha,
Mohaha,
Laukikaha,
Drishyate.
But even then, even for him, even if a person understands Atma is eternal, therefore he is free from the delusion regarding the Atma being indestructible, then even then, laukikaha mohaha drishyate. Even for that person, even then, you know, the delusion regarding the worldly matters will be there. Understand? Laukikaha mohaha, loka sambandaha mohaha, laukikaha mohaha. That sambandha, okay, that delusion is there regarding the worldly matters. what the worldly matters, he says, what is the nimittam for that? He says here, kin nimittaha, shita ushna sukha dukkha prapti nimittaha. The, you know, this getting of this, gain, going through this different patches of opposites in the form of sukham, dukkham, no, pain, pleasure, heat and cold, etc. All these, there are many patches of opposites. You are going to see one after the other, okay? The big list of patches of opposites. And in going through this patches of opposites, regarding this, still there is delusion. Even for the person who knows Atma is eternal. No? Drishyate, his question is coming here. Okay, I understand this. Okay, I understand what consciousness is all about. Still, it has not been assimilated. See, the question may come before, because we are in hurries. We are so impatient. We can't wait for the Shruti to continue and talk to us. We understand it, but Shruti starts with that, you know. What is Lakshyartha of the Tvam? That Lakshyartha Tvam is the Lakshyartha of the Jagat. That is Chaitanyam. How it is of the nature of knowing. To make us understand consciousness is of the nature of knowing, you have to wait for two classes to listen to. Understand a little bit of it. And therefore that consciousness, that has no beginning, no end, object to change. You have understood all these things. And then suddenly the Buddhi goes, Yadyapi, Atma, Nityaha, Iti Vijanataha, even though the person has Atma is Nityaha Iti Jnanam, the knowledge, and he is free from the delusion regarding the Atma, even then, Laukikaha, Mohaha, okay? Kinnimittaha, Laukikaha, Mohaha, Sukha, Dukha, the paths regarding the paths of opposites, delusion will be there. Delusion regarding this one going through the paths of opposites. Sukha viyoga nimittaha mohaha.
Sukha viyoga nimittaha mohaha.
Dukkha sayoga nimittascha shokaha.
Dukkha sayoga nimittascha
shokaha. Shokaha. So what is the moha? He says, sukha viyoga nimittaha mohaha. Sukha viyoga. See, once we go through pleasure, we have pleasure, and then the pleasure has to definitely comes to an end. Any experience of pleasure definitely has to come to an end. What has to? It does come to an end. Sukha nimittaha, okay, and sukha se viyogaha. Viyogaha means what? Separation. Separation of pleasure means going away of pleasure. Going away of pleasure means experience or enjoyment of pleasure coming to an end. That is there. Similarly, dukkha sanyogaha. When the pleasure comes to an end, an experience of pleasure comes to an end, definitely what begins is dukkha sanyoga. Sanyoga means joining. See, this viyoga sanyogaha, very funny word, okay? Viyogaha means separation. Sanyoga means addition or joining. Here coming of something and going away of something. Okay, dukkha sivyogaha. Therefore, here the experience of sukham coming to an end and the beginning of the experience of dukkham. Okay, there one begins to start going through pain. This is something there. Regarding this, there is shokaha. Okay, dukkha sanyoga nimittascha shokaha. Ityetat Arjunasya Vachanam Ashankya Bhagavan Aha. Ashankya. Suppose Arjuna may ask all these things, you see, why there is something called pain is coming in life. Pain, when the pleasure goes, there is some, we experience pleasure, and there is pleasure for some time, and pleasure comes to an end, and pain comes. Pain is there. Understand? So, still it is there. Arjuna might come out, Ashanka means doubting. Arjuna might come out with such a question. What is the connection? Okay, understanding the self being eternal may clear one's delusion regarding this. What? This self. It will not remove the delusion regarding the experience of pains and pleasures, the paths of opposites in life. Arjuna may ask, will the knowledge of the self will remove the delusion regarding only the self being indestructible, or will it remove the delusion regarding, okay, the paths of opposites, once going through paths of opposites in life. How can you account for paths of opposites in life? Because we don't like dukkha sanyoga, but we like only sukha sanyoga. We don't like dukkha yoga, sukha yoga also. We don't like our pleasures, experience of pleasures coming to an end. We don't want to have any pain at all in life. So how can you account for it? Okay? So how does the knowledge help us here? There he discusses about the nature of paths of opposites. Again, through this verse, 14th verse, Bhagavan Krishna, in fact, the 14th and 15th, these two verses, Krishna indirectly gives karma yoga, doesn't call it karma yoga, he does, just hints, give a clue of karma yoga. Krishna does indirectly gives a clue of what is karma yoga without mentioning the word karma yoga. But he discusses he discusses the nature of paths of opposites. Why should he discuss about the nature of paths of opposites? Really speaking, in knowing the self being eternal, all these paths of opposites will resolve. But still, in between, until he becomes a jnani, until he makes effort to know the self and he knows the self, he has to make him understand the nature of the paths of opposites. What it is, acceptance or non-acceptance of paths of opposites is possible only not knowing what it is. Once you know what is the nature of paths of opposites, then you will be able to accept them and understand them. If you don't know, it's difficult for you to understand and to accept them. Therefore, in this verse, 14th verse, Krishna talks about the nature of the pairs of opposites.
Matra sparshastu kaunteya, matra sparshastu kaunteya, शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदाः आगमापायिनो नित्याः आगमापायिनो नित्याः ताम स्थितिक्षस्व भारत ताम स्थितिक्षस्व भारत.
He calls Arjuna by the beautiful word, now hey Bharata. I told you already the word, meaning of the word Bharata, is a beautiful word. Bharupa Brahmani Rataha, one who is reveling in the knowledge of the oneness of reality, one who has the luxury of reveling in the knowledge of the oneness of reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, is Bharataha. Who is a Bharataha? In fact, India is supposed to be the land of people who revel in the knowledge of Atma. Bha rupa, bha means light, effulgence. Bha itself means light, effulgence. And bha rupa, bha stands for here, the rupa, the Brahman, which is of the nature of knowledge, is implied by the word bha. Bha rupa brahmani ramate iti, bharata. A rataha is the participle of ramate, dram dhatu. So bharata. In fact, he's supposed to be. So he just calls him na Bharata Vamshe Jataha, Bharata Kule Jataha, so Bharata. Hey Bharata, hey Arjuna. Sometimes now we have to say, oh, you are so intelligent child. Even if he's not, we have to say, then it'll help him to push, always we have to say that. We were said, so we have to say that. That's how we were encouraged. Okay. So he's Bharata. And here, see, Ishita Ushna Sukha Dukham. Only he mentions four here. Sita, two pairs of opposites he mentions. We can include all pairs of opposites. They stand for all different pairs of opposites. Sheetam, Ushnam. Okay, cold and heat. And Sukham, Dukham. Pleasure and pain. Honor, dishonor. Victory, defeat. Okay, you can Jaya, Apajaya, Parajaya. You can go like that. Success, failure, all pairs of opposites. Now, all pairs of opposites. When do we both have pairs of opposites? Different opposite experiences. Pain is an experience. Pleasure is an experience. Failure is an experience. Success is an experience. Defeat is an experience. Okay, victory is an experience. Honor is an experience. Dishonor is an experience. Cold is an experience. Heat is an experience. Different pairs of opposites. All these are nothing but objects of knowledge, objects of experience. When does any experience happen? What is it which results in experience? What is it which causes the experience? And if there is no perception at all, there cannot be any experience at all. There must be some perception, okay? That is why in deep sleep state, there is no sukham, there is no dukkham, there is no shitam, there is no ushnam, nothing is experienced. Why? Because there is no perception. Why there is no perception? Because senses and the sense objects are not interacting. There is no contact between the senses and the sense objects in deep sleep state. Why there is no sukham and dukkha? Simple. Senses are not in contact with the respective sense objects. That's all simple. Why? Because senses are resolved. Why? Because they remain resolved because the mind is not behind them. Why? The mind is resolved. Why? That is called deep sleep state. The deep sleep state is nothing but mind remaining resolved. Mind being passive. The attention being resolved. What is attention? I am. Even that is not there. Totally passive. Then if the mind, attention of the mind doesn't back up, my God, these senses are as good as dead. They are also resolved. When they are resolved, and okay, the perception does not take place, the sense objects are not contacted. The sense objects are not contacted. The jagat is, I tell you, is as good as non-existent. What causes dukkham for you? What is dukkham? Okay, I tell you, sukham or dukkham, ushnam, okay, ashitam, any experience is possible. Desirable or undesirable, pain or pleasure, experience is possible only if the external objects are touched, contacted. When? Through the senses. The experience will be there. You cannot stop. There is something called a waking state. You have to wake up. No, I don't want to wake up. You will wake up. Why? This is a function. You have to understand the function of mind, okay? How the mind functions. There's a function that is waking up. And the senses are perceiving. Senses are perceiving means the senses are in contact with the sense objects. In fact, each sense organ, sprishati, okay, netram, sprishati, netram, eye touches the form. Touching means, seeing is touching, understand I say. Similarly, the power of hearing touches, sprishati, kim sprishati, shrotra indriyam, shabdam sprishati, netra indriyam, no, the prakasham sprishati, form sprishati. So, netra indriyam, nasika, we can say, this jigrana indriyam, and by the power of smelling, it touches, sprishati, kim sprishati, no, gandham sprishati, it touches the smell. Similarly, all these five sense powers, they come in contact with what? The sense objects. That is why these sense powers, through each sense power, you touch a different, you come in contact with a different sense object, the respective object. Therefore, each sense organ is called, sense object is called sprishyate iti sparshaha. Sparshaha means touch. Object which is touched, not only through skin, the organ of touch, and also through all different senses. Sparshaha means that which is touched, that which is contacted. Sprishyate iti sparshaha. So all the sense objects are what now? Sparshaha. They are touched. when they are touched, contacted by what? Through what? Matra bhihi. Okay, therefore matra here is, I'm going to see the matra is, in fact, I told you already about the root ma. Ma means to measure, and mati means measures, and a matra, that by which something is measured. Okay, in fact, any tape, you can say it's a measure, okay. The measuring instrument is called matra. The time, the unit of time is also called matra. And his sense organ is called matra. Why? Because Shankaracharya is going to say later on, abhihi miyante iti matraha. Those through which sense objects are measured correctly and understood, they're called matraha. Understand? Abhihi. Why abhihi? Because matra is a feminine gender word. Anaya, anaya miyate iti matra. Anaya miyate iti matra. Anaya miyate iti matra. Anaya miyate iti matra. What is this? No, the taste is measured, understood correctly. No, through what? Through the tongue. Therefore, it's also matra. Five matras we have. So, matra bihi, abhihi, miyante iti matra. Those through which the sense objects are measured correctly, understood, they're called matraha. So, therefore, matraha in this context, here it means sense organs, sense powers. Sparshaha means sense objects which are touched by the sense objects. Matraha sparshaha, matra sparshaha. Okay, when the senses come in contact with the sense objects, okay, definitely the contact of senses with the sense objects definitely gives rise to the experiences you cannot help. No, I don't want any experience. You can't keep your eyes closed, you can't keep your ears closed, you can sleep maybe, maximum, but you can't do anything else. Why? Because they're meant for perception, they're meant for knowing. You have to understand the helplessness, okay? You can't, let me keep everything closed and not say anything. I don't know what I have done. That is again a killing yourself, okay? That's a punishment. It's not possible. They're meant for perceiving. They're meant for knowing. They're meant for seeing. They're meant for understanding. They're meant for, in fact, you have to enjoy the whole jagat through this. I tell you, they're Bhagavan's Vibhuti. They're blessed. They're all blessing, in fact. You know, these five senses are there. And these five senses, these five matras, when they come in contact with five different sense objects, definitely, you know, matraha, daha. Matraha nischayena dadati. Each matra dadati iti da. Okay, each matra, each sense organ, when it comes in contact with this respective object, it gives dadati iti daha. Kim dadati? Sukham dadati, atava dukkham dadati. Understand how? Ushnam dadati atava? It gives rise to, it results in, it gives definitely any experience of any of the pairs of opposites. Sukha, dukkha, shita, ushna, daha. Shitam va, ushnam va, dukkham va, sukham va, dadati. Understand? Ar dadati. Purul, okay? Iti daha. Sukshita, ushna, sukha, dukkha, daha. Dadati, for which the purul is dadati. Know that? Gacchati, gacchanti, patati, patanti. But dadati, dadati. Not inti, okay? Dadati iti daha. That one thing I'd make. They give. They give means what? They give, right? Give. The contact gives rise to these pairs of opposites. This is the order. This is how the setup is. You cannot do anything about it. You don't, if you try to make, keep all your senses closed, it is not possible, it's not practical. They're meant for using it. But you won't go and fall into the pit, okay? You will make the best use of them. They're given to you. But once you're using it, you can't avoid contacting the sense objects. Definitely, when the sparsha is there and the objects are contacted, definitely these, you know, different states of experience, going through the experiences of pairs of opposite is inevitable. There's no choice. That misukha dukkha daha. But understand one more thing, Arjuna. All the, you cannot expect only sukham. You can only expect only ushnam. In winter you won't hear Ushnam. In India, if you come to India, you will know Ushnam. Ushnakalam, you will not like Ushnam. Okay, you like Sheetam there. So this is, okay, so we always we complain about something, what is there, and what we always think of, what is not there. That is our problem. Anyway, so Sheeta Ushna Sukha Dukha Daha, but all these pairs of opposites, you cannot have only one of the, all desirable of the, you know, pairs of opposites. Sukham, you know, and in summer, Sheetam, in winter, Ushnam, and then we have only victory, only success, no failure, no defeat, no loss, only gain. That is not possible. These pairs, they are called pairs of opposites. They come alternatively. Once is there, another will follow the next. This is how they come. That is the nature. But be very happy about one thing. These pairs of opposites are impermanent. They come and go. They are not permanent. Except this Chaitanya Atma, nothing is permanent. Everything is subject to change. You already told about the physical grass thing. Now we take these experiences which are inevitably born of your inevitable contact of senses with their sense objects also impermanent. Nothing lasts long, forever. That means agamaha apayinaha. Agamaha agachanti punaha, okay, they gachanti eva. Agamaha apayinaha, they come and go. Agama apayinaha, come and go, they come, nothing will remain forever. Well, sukham comes and goes. Agama apayi sukham, agama apayi dukkham, agama apayi sheetam, agama apayi dukkham, agama apayinaha, all these pairs of opposites. Therefore, understand the nature of it. Nothing can, you know, I want only dukkham to be there forever. It is not possible. It is the nature. Understand the nature means swabhav, okay? What is the nature of it? That is how it is. Sukham comes and goes, dukkham comes and goes. All these pairs of opposites. Agama apayinaha, they come and go. Agama apayinaha. Therefore, anityaha, they are not permanent. They are impermanent. They are time-bound. They're there in a given period of time. They disappear in a given period of time. That is why anityaha. Agama apayinaha anityaha. Therefore, he says here, tan titikshasva. Hey Bharata, tan titikshasva. Again, he says, no. Say, would you mind forbearing, would you mind tolerating them, bearing them? So he says, no, tan titikshasva. So, okay, titikshasva. We try to forbear them, endure them. Okay, titikshasva. Titiksha means endurance, okay? So, titikshasva. Titikshasva is, no, titikshate. So, hey Bharata, tan titikshasva. Why? Because you can endure them if you know the nature. That is why I want to tell you the nature. The agama apayinaha. Can't you endure them? If they are going to be permanent, then you can say, I can't endure them. They come and go. And you can't help it. They will be there. Understand? Tanti tikshasva. Then, if he has to tell him, in fact, in knowledge, all of them will resolve. There is no such thing called enduring. Endurance will be in knowledge. Okay? In knowledge, all these things will be resolved. But till then, you know, because he knows, Arjuna, Krishna himself expected people to be impatient, okay? That's why he wanted to talk about it here. In between, he said, no. See, in Atma Jnane Sarva Dukkha Vinashanam, we know very well. All the dukkham should come to an end in Atma Jnanam. Already assured and promised. That is why we are interested in Atma Jnanam. Again, we may ask this question. See, okay, self-knowledge will remove the delusion regarding nature of the self. What about the pairs of opposites which come in life? In what way it will help me to, you know? Then, that's why he talks in between. These pairs of opposites, till the Jnanam takes place. Jnanam, they will resolve. But till Jnanam takes place, you have to understand what is this. I have to live this life. There's something called Paradha. You have to talk about all those things. these pairs of opposites come and go. Of course, there aren't we Parabdha, we are going to talk about Parabdha later on. But now, as an introductory kindergarten lesson, Krishna has to introduce them. Okay, what is a pair of opposite? What are the pairs of opposites? When do they come into being? When do they occur? What is his experience? And can you stop them? Can you stop experiencing them? Is it possible for you to keep your senses closed all the time? No. That means you can't avoid these experiences. And there'll be both. Experience means there'll be pairs of experience of pairs of opposites. Both will be there. But understand one thing, they come and go. They're anityaha, they're impermanent. Therefore, you understand the nature of the pairs of opposites which come in life, thereby learn to endure them. Tanti tikshasva bharata. Okay? Now, if I have to endure them, we have to tell, no? Have to study well, or we tell. Suppose the parents tell children sometimes, study well, no, do this work and get high good score. Once you get high score, what will be? To encourage the child, what will you get if you endure them now? What are you gain later on? That really, no, you have to say always we want some, you know, what I'll get out of it. Therefore, if I endure them, no, the all difficulty I endure them, will I get anything, something more? Krishna is promising next verse. Okay, what you will gain if you will endure those pairs of opposites? Then he is going to say, immediately Krishna is in a hurry to say that what he is going to gain as a result of enduring the pairs of opposites, so that Arjuna will make efforts to endure them. Okay, before we go on to see that, what one is going to gain as a result of enduring the pairs of opposites as they come inevitably, that we'll see later on. Then before that, let us see this Shankaracharya's bhashan here. Matraha.
Matraha.
So Shankaracharya says, what does the word matraha mean? See, matraha is a plural. Akarantaha, stilingaha, matra, shabdaha, tasya, prathamayam, bahuvachane, matraha iti rupam. Then, abhihi, why matra is called matra? Why a sense organ is called matra here? A sense organ is known by the term matra. Why? Because abhihi miyante. Miyante means are measured. See, the mati is active verb. Miyate is a passive verb. Mati measures, is measured, miyate. And matra, okay, because why miyante? Because many objects. Therefore, miyante. Okay. Miyantam are measured. Okay? Abhihi means through these. Etabhihi. Etabhihi. Okay? Sense namabhihi. Sense organs namabhihi. Matrabhihi miyante. Okay? So, those through which the different objects are known, understood, measured. Therefore, it's called what? Matraha. Abhihi means by these. Through these. Miyante are measured iti matraha. Shankaracharya explains the word matraha. Iti, what are measured here? Shabda adayaha. Why shabda adayaha? Because shabda stands for all five sense objects. Shabdaha, sparshaha, rupaha, rasaha, gandaha. Understand? Shabdaha is what? Sound. Sound is measured through, I'll explain to you. No? Sound is measured through the ear, and form is measured, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, the five sense objects, rupam, form and color, okay, light, and you can say rupa, shabda, sparsha, touch, rupa, form, then rasa, smell, taste, then gandha, smell. All these five different sense objects are measured. Shabda adayaha, shabda stands for all five sense objects, shabda, etc., shabda and so on. All these five sense objects are measured through these sense organs. Therefore, these sense organs are known as matraha. Then, iti, shrotra adini indriyani. So, he explains, Shrotra Adini means Shrotra means ear. Ear, etc. Okay? All these five senses, beginning with ear, etc., five sense organs, through which the sense objects such as sound, etc., are measured, are known as Matraha. He explains the word Matraha. Shankaracharya explains, I'm repeating just like a parrot, nothing else. Matranam Sparshaha. Matranam Sparshaha. So, Matranam Sparshaha, the touches, objects of touch of the senses, you know, Shabda Adibihi Sanyogaha. So, Sanyoga means that which makes it connect, okay, the contact, the touch, the Sparshaha, the contact, contacts, the contacts of senses with their sense objects. The first Sanyogaha, it says, Sanyoga means how does the sense organ, the power of hearing comes in contact with the sense object? You know, that exposed, no? That touch is called Sparshaha. Therefore, Sparshaha Sanyogaha. Te Shita Ushna
Shita Ushna
Sukha Dukkadaha
Sukha Dukkadaha
Shitam
Shitam
Ushnam
Ushnam
Sukham
Sukham
Dukkham Cha
Dukkham Cha
Prayachanti
Prayachanti
Iti. See, Prayachanti for Dadati, another word is what? Yachati. Yachati or Prayachati. Why Prayachati? Definitely they give. What do they give? I mean, Prayachati means gives. Prayachati nischayena dadati. Prakrishena yachati. What gives, what definitely gives here? The contact of senses with their sense objects definitely give. Prayachati. Gives what? Gives results in pairs of opposites. So he mentioned only four of them. Sukham, Dukkham, Shitam, Ushnam, etc. Athava.
Athava.
Sprishyante iti.
Sprishyante iti.
Sparshaha.
Sparshaha.
Vishayaha.
Vishayaha.
Shabdadayaha.
Shabdadayaha.
Matrascha.
Matrascha.
Sparshascha.
Sparshascha.
Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkha Daha.
Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkha Daha.
Shitam.
Shitam.
Kadachit Sukham.
Kadachit Sukham.
Kadachit Dukham.
Kadachit Sukham.
Tatha.
Tatha.
Ushnam.
Ushnam.
Api.
Api.
Aniyata Swarupam.
Aniyata Swarupam.
See, nothing is permanent. Aniyata Swarupam. What is the nature? Swabhava. What is the swabhava? What is the nature? Anita swabhava. They are not permanent. Definitely, sometimes there will be cold. Sometimes, we can't, like climate here in this country, we can't predict, no? When it will rain, nothing we can say. Like that, sukham, dukham. We can't say when Alan G is listening. when he's always listening, I ask you. I understand. Okay? So, he sees the Vishnu sukha dukha daha. So here he says, you can say the word sparsha can be taken as, you know, contact of senses with the sense objects, or the word sparshas can be taken as very objects of perception. These two meanings, whatever it is, the senses and the sense objects, the contact of senses with their sense objects, definitely prayachanti nischayena dadati, definitely they give rise to what? Gives rise to these pairs of opposites. But what are they? So he says here, Sukha Dukhe
Punaha
Niyata Rupatam Navya Bhicharataha. See, what he says is, definitely they don't continue to be the same. They don't continue to be the same. Dukkham comes, dukkham continues to be there forever? No. Sukham comes, sukham continues to be there forever? No. Both come and go. Therefore, ataha, tabhyam, prithak, shita ushnayoho, grahanam. Why? Because, why he says, it these two steps, because they come and go. Shitam Ushnam comes and goes. But Sukham Dukkham will be, you know, like that. not least Hitam, all these pairs of opposites, one or the other, they'll come and go. Different pairs of opposites. So he says, Tasmat,
Te,
Matras Parshadayaha,
Matras Parshadayaha,
Agama Payinaha,
Agama Payinaha,
Agama Payinaha,
Agama Payinaha,
Agama Payashilaha. See, Shilaha means they are of the nature of coming and going. They are of the nature of being and not being, disappearing. Understand? So he says, Tasmat. Therefore. Tasmat means? Therefore. Whenever the Panchami Vibhakti comes, it implies the cause, Hetu. Panchami Vibhakti, wherever Panchami Vibhakti comes, understand, this implies the Hetu. Hetu means the cause. Due to that reason, they are Anityaha. They are, because they are of the nature of coming and going, because they are of the nature of being impermanent, they Anityaha, they come and go. Ataha, Tan, Shita Ushnadin,
Shita Ushnadin,
Titikshasva.
Titikshasva.
Shankaracharya gives another verb. Prahasasva.
Prahasasva.
You know, sahanam means tolerance, endurance. Sahanam, enduring, endurance is sahanam. Sahate means endures. Okay? And prahasasva. Prasahasva. I'm sorry. Prasahasva. Prasahasva, may you endure them.
Teshu.
Harsham.
Vishadam.
Va. Makashihi. Ityarthaha. So, when, okay, don't feel, elated, or don't feel dejected. Harshaha means, happiness. Don't feel happy about, good about the desirable pair of opposite, and don't feel, bad about, vishadam, don't feel unhappy about the undesirable pair of opposite. So, undesirable of the, opposites. So, harsham va, vishadam va, makarshihi, may not do. Iti artaha, it is very simple to know. He hints slightly of karma yoga here. Hey Arjuna, may you endure all these pairs of opposites. Don't get elated, don't get dejected. Whether the pairs of the opposite are desirable or not, may you endure them, learn to endure them. He just says little bit. Yes, he's going to talk elaborately on this later on when he discusses about Karma Yoga in the same chapter. This will be further elaborately commented upon in the whole of third chapter. It's a different thing. He just hints a little bit here. May you endure them. Okay? Tikshasva, Prasahasva. Why? Because that means try to understand the nature. When can you endure them? How can you endure them? If you know the nature. Why? Nothing is permanent. It's going to go. It'll go. Understand? The pleasure is there, no problem. Only pain, you have to wait for it to go. It'll go. Pleasure, you don't like to go, no? Yeah, I don't like PTG going off 6 o'clock. Okay, stay for some more time. Say all of you stay for some more time. All of you, Ralanji, don't go, stay for some more time. If I say, no, that's not practical, isn't it? Similarly, yes, I'm saying, things will, may you learn to endure them. So, if he has to endure, then something you have to brave. It's not simply bribing here. Really have to tell them, what will you get? Oh, why should I? Then what is use of me talking to you, Krishna? Let me go back and endure them. Why should I waste my time with you? Okay, let me go and endure them now. You would learn to endure. You tell me this, you have asked me to come here now, you wanted to talk to me now. I asked you for, ekam vada nischitta ekam vada. No? Yad uchosh, the indriyanam uchoshanam shokam. Now, which will relieve me of that pain, now, which dries up my sins. I want to know, only that knowledge which will free me from this sorrow. I have asked you for that, and you are telling me, come on, the senses are there, sense organs are, sense objects are there, they come in contact with each other, you can't stop them from coming in contact with each other, and if they come in contact with each other, definitely they will result in pairs of opposites. They come and go. Anityaha, agama payinaha, agama payinaha. So, titikshasva, no, prasahasva, endure them. What is this you are telling me to endure them? How can I endure? That is the problem. I can't endure pain. I can endure, not endure, I forget myself in pleasure. But the question of enduring, time is there, time is getting dried only when I go through pain. The pleasure, my God, time of my pleasure just flies like that. I don't even know that I had pleasure. But the pain comes, my God. Every fraction of a second I have to drag it, okay, which is not possible for me to endure. How can I endure? And how can I endure? He's going to talk. No, you have to endure this. I can say that. Nice. No, he says, they come and go. They're impermanent. Endure them. But in between, he wants to tell what you are going to gain as a result of enduring them. That is something nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, that's what he's going to say in the next verse. So, Shankara says here, Shita Ushnadin, Shita Ushnadin, Sahataha, Kim Syat, Iti, Shrunu. Shrunu. Hey Arjuna, Shrunu, listen to me. Listen. Okay? Kim Syat, what may be, so what? No? Shita Ushnadin Sahataha, Kim Bhavati. What will be there for the person who endures these pairs of opposites? Shita Ushna Adin. Adin stands for all the pairs of opposites which come in life. You know, Yaha Sahate Saha Sahan Purushaha. Tasya Sahataha Purushase Kim Bhavati. Sahan no Sahat, that Shatrush. The Trichanta Shabda comes. Sahate, yaha sahate saha sahan purushaha, takarantaha pullingaha sahat shaddaha tasya shatyam vibhakto ekavachane sahataha iti rupam. Sahataha purushasya, shita ushna sukha dukha adin sahataha purushasya kim bhavati, kim syat, what happens, what is it which happens for the person? Amritat saha, very interesting verse, you see. Saha amritatvaya kalpate. Rajana will be, he'll bite, no? He'll widen his eyes and say, what is that? What am I going to gain if I endure the pairs of opposites? Amritatvaya kalpate. No, he'll say, his amritatvaya kalpate. Saha. Yaha sahate. Saha amritatvaya kalpate. What amritatvaya kalpate? He becomes eligible for accomplishing immortality. He'll attain immortality. He'll attain muktaha bhavati, not moksham prapnoti, muktaha bhavati. He'll become a muktaha. He'll become liberated. He'll become free. He'll become immortal. No? So, amrutatvaya kalpate, Raja me warned. Okay, let me try to endure. Because that's what he wants. See, Krishna really, this is, I tell you, this Krishna is an excellent teacher, isn't he? Oh my God, Bhagavan. So he says, Yam hi na vyathayantyete, Yam hi na vyathayantyete, Purusham purusharshabha, Purusham purusharshabha, Samadukha sukham dhiram, Samadukha sukham dhiram, Somrutatvaya kalpate, Somrutatvaya kalpate. See, without saying one word of mentioning the word of Karma Yoga, Krishna quietly introduces Karma Yoga here. He doesn't talk about Karma Yoga. He says, Yam Purusham, Hey Purusharshabha, always Krishna Arjuna needed some sort of applaud. Hey Purusharshabha, Purusheshu Rishabha Iva, Rishabha, Vat Rishabha, Rishabha Iva Rishabha, Rishabha means bull. You think if you say, oh, bull among many, he'll be very bad. So in fact, he doesn't say bull. No, the outstanding personality among all the men who were there. So he has to say, how special, very different person. So the exalted of the men, oh, the most exalted of all the men who are gathered here. Hey, Purusheshu Rishabha, Iva Rishabha, Purusheshu. No? For the, oh, most exalted of the men here, the bravest of the men, has to say, Purusharshabha. He says, Yam Purusham Yete Na Vyathayanti. See, Vyathayati means causes pain. No? Vyathayati means causes pain. I mean afflicts, affects. Vyathayati. Yete means these. This ete, the pronoun, means those pairs of opposites. Yete sukha dukkhadayaha shita ushnadayaha dvandvaha. Ete dvandvaha. These pairs of opposites which have been discussed, the nature of which has been already discussed in the earlier, the previous verse. These pairs of opposites, ete, yam na vyathayanti, whom they do not afflict. The one whom these pairs of opposites do not afflict, do not affect, do not cause pain. For whom? Okay, Purushashabha. Saha, he says, samadukha sukaha. Saha samadukha sukaha. Who is samadukha sukaha? I have to get to the meaning of samadukha sukaha. Sukham dukham cha samam yasya saha samadukha sukaha. Samadukha sukham, no? Dukham cha sukham cha samam yasya saha samadukha sukaha. The one for whom the pain and the pleasure is the same, pain the pleasure are the same, he is samadukha sukaha. The one who can take pain and pleasure with the sameness of mind, one who considers them both as the same, the same attitude, looks at them with the same attitude, one who remains the same towards both pain and pleasure, one who doesn't get elated when there is pleasure, one who doesn't get dejected and depressed, no, when there is pain, such a person is samadukha sukaha. Samadukha sukaha. And samadukha sukham sukaha purushaha. And such a person is dhiraha. He is a brave person. Who is not affected by any situation which comes in life, desirable or undesirable, pain or pleasure, pleasant or unpleasant, nothing shakes him. That means he remains strong. Such a person is a dhiraha. Who is the brave person? One who is not tossed by the situations. One who is not affected by situations. One who is not affected by situations. One who remains strong. He is a dhiraha. Who is dhiraha? Who is the one who is not affected by anything which comes in life? One who can look at everything, one whatever comes in life, all the pairs of opposite the sameness of mind. Samadukha sukaha. Kaha dhiraha, samadukha sukaha is dhiraha. Kaha samadukha dhiraha, samadukha sukaha, yasya, yam, yete na vyathayanti, saha samadukha sukaha. Okay, the one whom these pairs of opposites do not afflict, he is samadukha sukaha. Yaha samadukha sukaha, saha eva dhiraha, yaha dhiraha, tam, saha eva amrutatvaya kalpate. Kalpate, he is qualified, he is eligible for what? Amrutatvaya, for immortality. He is the one who is eligible for mokshaha. He becomes eligible for muktihi. He is eligible for, he is the one who is qualified for what? I mean, discovering happiness. freedom from all limitations. You endure them, slowly you'll become free from them. This is the secret, okay? What is implied here is, you endure them, wait for the knowledge, make efforts for knowing, until you know the Self, you please endure them. Till then they come and go, in jnanam, you will be free from all the limitations, you will be free from all pairs of opposites. When you are free from those pairs of opposites, what is the question of why should you then endure them? When they are there, you endure them. Okay? That in jnanam, you will become free from them. Then there is no need for you to endure them. They must be there for you to endure them. In jnanam, they will not be there. These pairs of opposites will not be there in knowledge. Then no need to endure them. Pain must be there, pleasure must be there for you to endure it, to enjoy it. Understand? They won't be there. That means you'll be free from them when in jnanam. So becoming free from all pairs of opposites, becoming free from going through all experiences of pains and pleasure, etc., no, is in fact amrutatvam, immortality. Understand? That amrutatvam will be there. You become completely free from going through the experience of all pains and pleasures in jnanam. For that freedom, you have to have jnanam. And for that jnanam to take place, definitely you have to be a dhiraha. And for you to be a dhiraha, you have to become a samadukha sukaha. And for which you have to remain, okay, unaffected by those pairs of opposites. Unaffected means you are able to take them, you are able to endure them. Understand? Hey Arjuna, may you learn to endure those pairs of opposites. I cannot, though I am Bhagavan, I cannot undo them, okay? I cannot undo the pairs of opposites. Don't, Krishna, what Bhagavan are you? Why don't you undo those pairs of opposites? For us, the God means we think we should go and pray to the Lord, and Bhagavan should immediately undo whatever we don't like. If he is not able to undo, immediately we don't believe in that God also then. Okay? And we doubt Bhagavan himself. And this is the problem of, no, problem of our understanding of any Bhagavan. Otherwise, what Bhagavan he is, what God he is. I tell you, no God will ever come and rescue us from going through these pairs of opposites. Bhagavan, the best thing Bhagavan can do for us to make us understand what these pairs of opposites. Only then he is a Bhagavan. If he can make us understand, then he is really a Bhagavan. So that is why Krishna is really, he says, may you endure these pairs of opposites. The one who endures these pairs of opposites, you know, is the one who is affected by the pairs of opposites. The one who is not affected by the pairs of opposites is the one who can take all the pairs of opposites with the sameness of mind. The one who is able to take all the pains and pleasures, all pairs of opposites with the sameness of mind, whether desirable or undesirable, such a person is a brave person, dhiraha. Such a person is the one who is qualified for amrutatvam, immortality. Understand? In fact, here the question may come. One more question we can ask here. How is it possible for one to endure them? How can you take them? Endure them, that's okay. No other go ahead to endure. What else can I do if I refuse to endure? What else can I do? Okay, this headache. What else can I do? I have to endure. No other good. That's helplessly, choicelessly, sometimes we endure. But here, intelligently, understand the nature of it. Endure them. I mean, we endure them complaining. We endure them without complaining. That is the difference. Okay? We are intelligent people and we endure them without complaining, talking about it. Again, not wasting more of energy and talking about it, what is unsolvable, and without talking about it. So we'll avoid all unnecessary, irrelevant discussions about what cannot be solved, and we'll quietly tolerate them. Without making noise, we'll endure them. That shows the maturity. Talking too much, complaining about it, still endure them. and we also become more tired. Okay, we're talking about it when we are immature. So how can a person be mature with reference to these pairs of opposites? If they're complaining about them, okay, it has come, it has to come, and he endures them. Remains quiet. That's a, you see, you, there is sort of acceptance demand. Without complaining, you endure them. Or complaining, you endure them. Okay? And there the attitude matters. How can I accept them? How can I endure them? How can I look at both pain and pleasure with the sameness of mind? There the attitude, no, there again is a subtle fact behind it. We only need to understand the fact behind it. What is the fact there? I tell you, if there is an attitude of looking at everything as, no, offering, everything as the manifestation of grace. Pain also is manifestation of grace. Pleasure also is manifestation of grace. Oh my God, always we think pleasure is a manifestation of, pleasure is grace. How can you look at pain also as grace? In fact, both are grace. How can you look at it as grace? Prasadaha. How can you look at it as prasada? If I can really connect, I have to understand one thing. Whatever comes in life definitely cannot come from something non-existent. There must be a cause behind it. Whether I'm able to see the cause or not, there must be a cause behind it. Without the cause, nothing can come into being. Karyasya karanam tu asti eva. Whatever I go through, whatever experience is there, this is a result or effect of something for which there must have been a cause. There is a cause. Whether I know what the cause is or I do not know what the cause is, there is a cause. This much Buddhi Bhagavan has blessed us with. Definitely we can appreciate there is a cause. I do not know what the cause is. If the cause is known to you, we call it drishtam. If the cause is not known, not seen, adrishtam. We people always think adrishtam in India, only good luck is said to be adrishtam. Or the bad luck also is adrishtam. Yeah, adrishtam means what? Any experience which you go through, for which the cause is unknown to you, unseen by you, is adrishtam phalam. Yes, definitely there is adrishtam. This adrishtam. Pain is adrishtam phalam. Pleasure also is adrishtam. Gain is adrishtam. Loss is adrishtam. Honor is adrishtam. Desire is adrishtam. I tell you, everything for which the phalam is unknown. The cause is unknown. When the cause is unknown, therefore definitely there is a cause. Okay? That's where the result happens. There is a cause behind it. Then, whatever I am going through, the situation, what is the pair of opposites, I tell you, all these things are what? Definitely, they are ordained by all the karma phalani, results of actions, past actions. We don't need to see the date of the action. We don't need to know the dates. We don't need to make efforts to know which date, what, when, how I did. Don't need to know. Just understand. It's a fact about it. There's a cause behind anything which happens. Therefore, cause is there, and if they are results of karmas, then past karmas, and those results are who determines the results of actions? Definitely, results are determined by the natural laws. How many natural laws? Who did count the natural laws? Nobody knows how many are there, but there are innumerably countless laws which exist as part and parcel of the whole jagat. Can you see those natural laws? You can't see the laws, but are they existing? Definitely they are existing. How can I understand? You can understand the laws being manifest, but you can't see the laws, natural laws through physical eyes. There are natural laws which govern, determine the results of actions. Therefore, all that you go through in life, all that everyone goes through in every fraction of a second is determined by the natural laws. What are these natural laws? Are they different from the Lord? What we talk about all the time, we have to understand. Now these, if we said whole jagat is Ishwaraha, all that is, there is only Bhagavan, only Ishwaraha, only the Lord, when we say, All that is, there is only in the Lord when we say, then what about the natural laws which exist as part and parcel of the Lord, the whole Jagat? They're also Ishwaraha. They're also the laws also are none other than the Lord. When, if you are able to understand the subtle fact, whether you accept it or you don't accept it, the fact is this, hey Arjuna. The thing is, the results are, whatever comes in life, all the pairs of opposites are inevitable, they come and go, they're impermanent, but they have a cause behind it, and they're determined by the natural laws, and those laws are, in fact, non-separate from the Lord. Therefore, if you can understand the laws which determine the results of actions as manifestation of the Lord, then you can look at anything which is ordained by the natural law as prasad, okay, as manifestation of grace. Not only the sukham, and also the dukkham. In that case, you can, the attitude of looking at it, then will help you as what? Endure them, okay, with the sameness of mind. That is when you are dhiraha. That is how you develop courage. Understand the fact, then accept the fact. As a mature person, then you are brave. Who is courageous person? Where is the courage? The real courage, the real bravery is in being mature. The maturity is accepting the fact without refusing, without denying the fact. This is maturity. As a person, in due course of time, what will happen? This is attitude which helps a person to accept anything, all the pairs of opposites with the sameness of mind. And such a person is a brave person. Why? Because he becomes ready for jnanam. Okay? The more you accept, the more you understand Ishvara as the natural laws, the more you understand the results as, you know, the cost. All that you go through in life, you know, being caused. And there's a cause being there behind all the results, all that you go through in life. And you understand those results, all that you go through are definitely determined by the natural laws. If you can understand it, you can look at those laws as non-separate from the Lord, the whole, the natural law and order, then you just accept them with sameness of mind. That acceptance, you know, really, in fact, I mean, tranquility, it really quietens the mind. The mind slowly, the more you understand, the more you accept the facts, the, you know, calmer you become, quieter you become. The quieter you become, you know, the more you can appreciate much subtler facts. The more appreciate subtle facts, the more you are nearer the reality. This is how endurance of pairs of opposites, with proper understanding, with the proper attitude, helps one to become calmer, quieter and tranquil-minded. Slowly, it will result in the knowledge of the reality, which is actually understanding the self being immortal, already being immortal. Understand self being immortal is in attaining immortality. You can never attain immortality. You can understand the self being immortal is attaining immortality, and which is actually freedom from all pairs of opposites, freedom from all dukkhams. He becomes eligible for mokshaha. Amrutatva is another word for mokshaha. Amrutatvaya kalpate. Can you endure pairs of opposites or not? Tell me, Arjuna, can you endure them or not? That's what he's asking. It's okay? So, can you see the Shankara's Bhashyam? Or is it time?
It's 4:15.
It's only 4:15. We're supposed to stop at 4:30, aren't we? It's okay. We'll read. No, I want to finish this.
Yes.
Okay. Yam hi purusham.
Yam hi purusham.
Sama dukkha sukham.
Sama dukkha sukham.
Same.
Same.
Dukkha sukhe.
Dukkha sukhe.
Yasya.
Yes.
Oh, what is it? He's repeating. Tam. Samadukha sukham. Okay, here Shankaracharya says, Yam Purusham, the person whom Samadukha sukham. Who is he? He is Samadukha sukham. Sukham dukham cha, in dual, I said sukham cha, samam, yes, I said. And here he says, sukham dukham, sukha ఖే. వై డ్యూయల్? సుఖ దుఃఖ ఫలం ఫలే ఫలాని సుఖం దుఃఖం డ్యూయల్ సుఖ దుఃఖే. సుఖ దుఃఖే సమే యస్య. ది వన్ ఫర్ హూమ్ పెయిన్ అండ్ ప్లెషర్ ఆర్ ద సేమ్, హీ సుఖ దుఃఖ సమః. సుఖ దుఃఖే సమే యస్య కెన్ సే సుఖం చ దుఃఖం చ సమం యస్య సహ సుఖ దుఃఖ సమః. ఆర్ యు కెన్ సే సుఖ దుఃఖ సుఖే సుఖ దుఃఖే సుఖ దుఃఖే సమే యస్య సహ సుఖ దుఃఖ సమః. ఐ యూస్ సింగులర్, శంకరాచార్య యూసెస్ డ్యూయల్. ఓకే, దట్స్ ఆల్. యస్య తమ్, ఐ యామ్ వెరీ ఫాస్ట్. ఓకే, లుక్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ Now I just didn't want to take much time. Sama dukkha sukham, sukha dukkha praptau. I thought it was not very, very necessary. That's why just very important. I didn't think it was very important, which is, I thought you have already understood that. Sukha, sama, okay, sukha dukkha praptau.
Sukha dukkha praptau.
Harsha vishada rahitam.
Harsha vishada rahitam.
Okay, sukha dukkha. So he again explains who is sama dukkha sukha. First he said sukha dukkhe same yasya, the one for whom sukham and dukkham are the same, he is sukha dukkha samaha. And who is he? He says sukha dukkha praptau harsha vishada rahitah. Rahitah means one who is devoid of, one who is free from. Okay, one who is not elated or not dejected, one who is not given to elation or dejection when he goes through pain and pleasures respectively, such a person is samadukkha sukaha. Not simply saying I accept both with the sameness of mind, accept both the sameness of mind, let me accept both the sameness of mind. Not simply talking to yourself. Really, you don't get affected, you don't get elated, or don't get rejected. Sri Shankaracharya says, no, harsha vishad rahitaha, one who is free from harsha, elation, vishada, dejection. Okay, one who is free from both, one who is not given to elation or dejection when he is going through pain and pleasure. He is rahitaha, one who is without this harsha vishadaha. Who is he? He is dhiraha. Who is dhiraha? He is dhimantaha, dhiman. Dhiraha is dhiman, buddhiman. In fact, the brave is the intelligent. In fact, intelligent is the brave person. Who is dhiraha? The one who is not affected is the brave. The brave is the intelligent, dhiman. So, dhimantam is an objective of dhiman. So, dhiram, dhimantam, na vyathayanti. Na vyathayanti do not cause pain for such a person, do not afflict him. Na chalayanti means they do not drive him crazy, they do not move him. Really, speaking the verb chalayati means drives, really, you know that, you know. Chalati means moves. If it doesn't move by itself, you push it. Okay, you move it. Called chalanam. Chalati, causative of chalayati, really speaking. Okay, and they shake, make you shiver, move, afflict. So they drive him crazy. I can say that word now. Therefore, na chalayanti, do not move, do not shake him. Na chalayanti, nitya atma darshanam darshanat.
Nitya
atma darshanat. శీతోష్ణాదయ సహ నిత్య ఆత్మస్వరూప దర్శన నిష్ట ద్వంద్వ సహిష్ణు. అమృతభావాయ మోక్షాయ కల్పతే సమర్థః భవతి. శంకరాచార్య యూసెస్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ. హీ సేస్ హియర్ నిత్య ఆత్మస్వరూప దర్శన నిష్ఠః. ఎక్సలెంట్ ఓకే నిత్య ఆత్మస్వరూప దర్శన నిష్ఠ నిష్ఠ వన్ హూ ఇస్ కమిటెడ్ ఓకే కమిటెడ్ టు వాట్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ కమిటెడ్ టు ది పర్స్యూట్ ఆఫ్ ద విషన్ దర్శన విషన్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ కస్య దర్శనం ఆత్మస్వరూప దర్శనం ఓకే సో ది వన్ హూ ఇస్ కమిటెడ్ వన్ హూ నోస్ నౌ డెఫినెట్లీ నో ఆత్మస్వరూప జ్ఞానే సర్వ దుఃఖ నివృత్తి ఇది హీ నోస్ హ్యావింగ్ నోన్ దాట్ అండ్ హీస్ కమిటెడ్ టు దట్ విషన్ అండ్ విత్ దాట్ సో హీ కెనాట్ సింప్లీ బికమ్ అన్అఫెక్టెడ్ సో హీ వన్ హూ ఇస్ కమిటెడ్ టు ది విషన్ ది పర్స్యూట్ ఆఫ్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ది సెల్ఫ్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ కమిటెడ్ టు ది విషన్ ఆఫ్ ది నో ఆత్మస్వరూపం నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆత్మ such a person knows in that vision everything will be resolved he knows that such a person he endures them such a person endures them with sameness of mind okay so he says dvandva sahishnuhu see sahishnuhu means yaha sahate sah sahishnuhu the endurer one who can endure is sahishnu Dvandva Sahishnu means one who endures all pairs of opposites without getting elated or dejected is the Dvandva Sahishnu. Dvandvanam, Dvandvan yaha sahate saha Dvandva Sahishnu. One who tolerates, one who endures all those, forbears all those pairs of opposites with the sameness of mind, knowing what they are, knowing the nature of the pairs of opposites, that agama apayanaha, they come and go, anityaha, they are impermanent, they are unpreventable, they cannot be prevented also, totally. One who knows the nature of the pairs of opposites, how they come into being, how they are, how they come and go, how they are impermanent, how they are, one who knows these things, and one who is interested in the vision of the swarupam of the atma he knows okay committed to that such a person endures them think they come and go such a person amrutatvaya kalpate he becomes no samarthah bhavati mokshaya samarthah bhavati he becomes what qualified samarthah means samartha literally means efficient. I mean, he becomes eligible for proficient and efficient. He becomes for mokshaha. He becomes eligible for jnanam. He becomes prepared for jnanam. Definitely, he cannot miss jnanam. Amritatvaya, I mean, amrita bhavaya, I mean, just to be immortal, becomes eligible for, immortality. He becomes eligible for being immortal means what? He is already immortal. Already he has to understand one thing. Here the self is immortal. Okay, this what is subject to mortality? The change. Mortality is nothing but undergoing changes. What is subject to change is anatma. What is subject to change? What is subject to mortality? What is all these things are not outside of the self which is not subject to change. One who knows this fact and he is free. He becomes free from all the problems. Amrutatvaya kalpate amrut mokshaya samarthah bhavati athava he also mokshaya samarthah na bhavati. We have to add that. If he cannot endure them, if he cannot endure them means what? Nobody escapes enduring them, okay? Nobody can escape enduring them. Everyone endures them. Complaining all the time, finding fault with them, and then for which you blaming others around, and then about everything we complain, the nature, the people around, the cattle around, the situations around, complaining, and then he's speaking. That means as long as he doesn't endure and amrutatvaya because the complaining person is in fact the disturbed minded, distracted minded, that means restless minded. he too. Therefore, the restless, disturbed, distracted minded should become quiet and tranquil minded, for which he needs to endure them quietly without complaining. For that quiet acceptance, quiet endurance, he needs to understand the subtle fact behind what this is going through this patch of opposites, as we saw before. One understands and he can endure them. Such a person, yam ete dundvaha na vyathayanti saha dhiraha sa samadukha sukha tam dhiram samadukha sukham no samadukha sukha saha amrtatvaya kalpate saha mokshaya samarthaha bhavati. He becomes eligible for moksha. Definitely he'll attain moksha. That is promised here. Okay? And the next verse is very, very all the verses are important. I never say this is the important verse. All the verses are equally important. Which verse is not important? Okay? The next verse, really, we are going to understand a lot of technical terms. The technical terms we will understand. Slowly, Gita is introducing the technical terms. Okay? And here again, so in these two verses, the 14th and 15th, talking about the pairs of opposites, Krishna started introducing, he had hinting the Karma Yoga without mentioning the word Karma Yoga. Okay, these two verses will be elaborately discussed there. Therefore, he makes sure, okay, it is Panditasya Dukkham Nasti, Apanditasya Dukkham Asti, Mohaha Asti, Shokaha Mohaha. Sorrow is because of delusion. Delusion is because of lack of clarity. That is because of ignorance. Therefore, when ignorance is in the wake of the knowledge, when ignorance is eliminated, along with the ignorance, ignorance born delusion, delusion born sorrow, all of them will resolve for good. But till then, suppose the question may arise, the knowledge can destroy, knowledge of the self can destroy, knowledge of the self can destroy, Dukkha may say, the knowledge of the nature of the self may remove the delusion regarding the nature of the self. What about the pairs of opposites? Will they be there or not? Because they'll be there. So Krishna just introduced what is the nature of the pairs of opposites. When do they come? Okay? Just discussing. Anything else you want to ask here?
Yes. I just want to be clear what the Gita actually says in practice about, for instance, say somebody is in pain. Say somebody has a physical pain. Now, this is the result of past action, yes? Mm. Well, they can just take a painkiller and it will go. Does that mean that they will get the pain back again in another form?
See, what I'm saying...
Are you saying they should just endure the pain? What does the Gita say about that?
No, it's not only talking about the physical pain. Pain in general, emotional, as well as physical, okay?
Yes.
See, physical pain results in emotional pain also.
Yes.
But the emotional pain need not cause physical pain. Sometimes you become physically dull also.
Yes.
But what I'm saying, the pain in general, see, always you are not prevented, stopped by anything or anybody to do the needful prudently to get rid of the pain.
Yes.
But there is a limitation.
Understand?
If you are not well, there is the same, so in order, there is somebody called Vaidyaha, somebody called doctor, some medicines are available, use all the available things,
yes. Okay,
to get rid of physical pain or emotional pain, whatever it is. But apart from the general, this is not the only things. You can always use, but there is a limitation of everything. You go to the doctor, gives you medicine, and then some pain is, removed, all those things, fine. Even to get such help, even to get rid of the pain That way, for that also you need to have some punyam.
Some
punyam must be there.
Oh yes.
Some
yes,
punyam,
yes.
Understand? Yes. Always you are said. See, it's not that you are there's no pain. You endure the pain means don't go to the, it's my punyam. It is my papa karma. Let me endure it. You better go to the doctor.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You can do the needful. See, always you, in fact, you will not wait for somebody to come and tell you. Like, okay, you will just do the needful.
Yes.
Because something called presence of mind, buddhi and prudence, and you know we will definitely act. We will always, all the time, tirelessly, we are doing something or the other to keep us in good humor. So you have to be intelligent enough to do the needful. You will do the needful, you will try to get out the problems. But still, always, whenever there is a problem, any pain, there is a solution. You do try the solution, you try your best to find a solution, you find a solution, get a solution, you see the problem is solved. But still, as the problems are, as the solutions are found, as their problems are solved, still the problems continue to exist. The Shastram tells you, the problems never come to an end. Understand? The problems will never come to an end. You always, always you can find a solution to solve a given problem. Okay, even as you said, if a physical pain is there, immediately there's a solution. What solution? You can take a tablet, or you can go to the doctor. It's very simple, mild headache. You have some pill at home and you take it and you just drink water, go and sleep and rest. You all right, you know what to do. You know how to act in the situation. Okay, similarly, or if you're not popular, go to the doctor, seek the help, you get rid of it. That's a different thing. That does not mean taking a pill and getting out of the pain you have at present will solve all your problems in life.
Oh, no, no.
Different types of problems. We are discussing the problems in general.
Yes.
In general. Definitely there are problems. Definitely there are solutions. We do make use of all the solutions available to solve our problems. In spite of the solutions being available, in spite of our problems being solved, still the problems being endless is the question now, for which, that is what is being the feeling of being bound and being limited, that is only there's something different for which this solution is given here. Okay, the problem for which there's no solution available elsewhere, anywhere, that solution is given here. And here, there also we discuss the day-to-day life problems in life. How do you take them? Understand? Okay, you take the medicine, you get to all, become all right, fine. If you don't become all right, what can you do? You go to the, in spite of going to the doctor, in spite of taking the medicine, if you cannot get rid of the pain, what can we do? Understand now? There are situations like that.
Yes, these are the situations I mean. I mean, I meet people who have been in pain for years. They're always in pain.
It is not samskara. It is the prarabdha. Any pain. See, any amount of pain, pain in any form is nothing but prarabdha karma phalam. It is the karma phalam. Similarly, sukham also is prarabdha karma phalam. Anybody's. See, for us, when you see somebody suffering, it is real suffering. In fact, you are becoming a victim of seeing somebody else's, suffering also is a papam, some papam. So you get rid of some papam by going through the pain, seeing others suffering, is also some prarabdha. Sometimes you yourself become a victim of the pain, you suffer. Sometimes you see others suffering, my God. No, that's also prarabdha. Because you go through pain when seeing others suffering. This is a pain, no?
So that's your prarabdha?
Yeah, your prarabdha. See, any pain. See, pain can be caused by anything. Either you have your own pain, or you don't have any pain. You happen to see somebody suffering. Seeing this other person suffering also is what? Causes pain in you. You can't be very happy and peaceful and somebody else is suffering. How can you be peaceful and happy? Maybe if you don't see the person, be away from the person, maybe you may forget. Now, you don't need to know, even the person is not known to you, even if the person is not at all known to you, no friend, no relative, nothing to do with the person, not even a friend, nothing, it's a stranger. Go to the hospital and see some people who are suffering and lying in the beds. You know, the way they scream and shouting because of the pain, the suffering. My God, you are there in hospital among people who are screaming all the time for the pain. You are there for 5 minutes enough. You will run away from the place. Why? Because you can't stand the pain. When you see others suffering, because we don't go to the hospital, we don't need to go to the hospital. Why should we go? If we go, happen to go, we happen to see others suffering, I tell you, it causes pain. There are people who are not affected by anything. They're stone-minded people. They are not human beings. Okay, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. Manusha rupena mrugascharanti, that is a different thing. And if your mood, understand? Your mood, vichalayanti, your mood by others' pain, then it causes pain. That pain is your prarabdha.
That's not useful.
What useful?
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying, pain means, why pain is, I'm saying. Whether it's pain caused by your own pain or caused by somebody else's pain, then any pain is karma phalam. It comes and goes. No pain is permanent. No pleasure is permanent. It comes and goes. Suppose we don't see anything, don't hear anything, then there cannot be pain. For you to have this experience, no, pain is experienced, pleasure is experienced. That experience is possible only when you really come in contact with something in the world. We don't come, understand. So when you come in contact with the things around, and definitely association, friendship, and moving around, definitely it results in experiences. What experience? Either you experience pain or experience pleasure. And any experience is what? Any pleasure or pain, experience of anything is impermanent. Anithyam, it comes and goes. That is the nature of it. Understand them and endure them. Pain means, you shouldn't take literally the word pain. Okay, not physical pain, not leg pain, headache, stomachache. Not, I don't mean. Generally, pain in sense, emotional, more. Pain, actually speaking, pain is emotional. What big physical pain? When physically we suffer also, we know it's pain. There's a pain, I don't say no. Physical pain is big pain, I don't say no. But emotion is worse. People don't see it until... For people are so gross, always pain means they think only of the physical body. Only of the physical body. People don't understand. One of my friends, she was suffering, and she had all this, all the malas, everything coming from anywhere, from any mystic person, she was able to accept it. She was wearing, think it will help. And then this other situation came where she couldn't overcome jealousy. And that again, that jealousy, that grumbling, okay, it resulted in what? Same, some again it aggravated the problem, the physical pain, physical problem. See, it's all managing emotions that is not there. That's why the viveka, the knowledge, even whether this, see, before, let the self-knowledge keep away, stand away. Even before the self-knowledge, all the preparations, lot of subtle things, your understanding will help you manage your emotions, which is a great help. People really, once you know how to manage the emotions, what are the emotions, when do they arise, how do they arise, what are the nature of emotions, how I can manage them, understand how I cannot control them, how I have no say over them, still how I can manage them. All this understanding, these things, understanding of these things really will help you manage a lot of other things. It's all subtle. The things are there. It's not simply physical pain. Any pain is parabdha. I can just say that. Parabdha. It just comes and goes. It doesn't go also. It's a parabdha. It's called a prabala parabdha. If you say, this man is suffering from this coma, or some paralysis, attack for many years now. Yeah, maybe 50, he's bedridden for 10 years, 15 years suffering. He's not suffering, people around him also are suffering. at least in India, we can't. At least here, you can just push the person, send the person to the hospital. You can stay at home quietly because the nurse will take care. In India, we have to keep the person maintained, and we don't feel we feel it is not right for us to ignore the person. We keep them at home or we keep them in the hospital. We take care of the person directly. That's how we are. And this is a big problem, and we take the whole power. It is our prarabdha, we take it as our prarabdha. The family's prarabdha. People, okay, we all take part, no? We share. Being around, emotionally making the person feel supported and all that. We just don't send them to the hospital and then stay at home quietly. I don't care. Always, the old people mean send them to old age homes and don't care. No, we have to take care of them. No, that's what people, it's also then, it's a pain. It's a problem, big problem, lot of things, difficulties involved. How do you accept it? Because I tell you, it's my karma. Let me exhaust it. Because it comes and goes. I'm aiming at something permanent, eternal. Let me accept the impermanent. Understand? I think I do need to talk the class certain things about Purusharth and Nischaya. I have to make it very clear. Now I understand. I need to talk the Purusharth, Nischaya and other things. Certain things we'll discuss maybe next class. Purusharth Nischayaha, Ayan Mahodaya. Purusharth Nischayaha. You know, people think Purusharth means, you know, Purusharth, the Mokshaha. Ultimate means people think it's the last moksha, last one. First I had to do this, second, then last is moksha. No, not the last. Every fraction of a second you're pushing yourself for that only. Moksha, but not knowing. Unknowingly you are always making efforts for moksha. And moksha is not, you know, it's like people think only liberation of soul is moksha. What is liberation of the soul? You don't even know what the soul is. And why do you think of the liberation for the soul? What is the soul? If you don't understand what the soul is, then you won't ask for the liberation of the soul. Soul is already free. The problem is with you. Not with the soul. Not with the soul. Understand? People think liberation of the soul. Not understanding what the soul means, not understanding what the liberation means, people think of the word liberation of the soul. And what the soul, how many doesn't like the word soul, really speaking? I don't know. No, soul, and again the confusion, soul is missing a lot of things, I tell you. In fact, just simply say, you want peace, you want happiness. Okay, not after the death, while living. Now you don't want... You don't want happiness now or what? My God, now what I want is now happiness. Okay, at least whether you're going to ascertain the vision of now itself or at least start understanding now. And starting to understand itself is a big relief. You see that you are being relieved slowly, 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 gradual relief. Definitely there's gradual relief. And see, it's not simply understanding this Atma, you see. Lot of other subtle facts. I'm repeating this sentence. Understanding of subtle facts which cannot be understood through any study of any other sciences. You know, which really makes us mature, helps us accept. That is where the real endurance, the real tolerance, accommodation, all those things are possible. And that makes us unaffected. If you're not affected by anything, then it's fine. What is that? Because you get worked up, okay? We don't want to get worked up. All our efforts are not to get worked up in the situation. How to remain cool and calm. All we need to do is we have to become mature. Maturity. That's what is emotional maturity. Growth. We can weigh our body and see every day we are growing, every day we are increasing physically the weight. That people like me not doing any exercise, my God. So that is that physical growth, who cares for, okay? You don't need to do anything. 3 times or 4 times, 5 times, just push inside, then you just expand and then bulge and become heavy. That doesn't matter. Emotional maturity is very, very, you have to take care of it. You have to initiate. Here we don't need to do anything. That's enough. But emotional maturity, we have to initiate. That implies, okay, maturity implies my acceptance. Acceptance implies my unaffectedness. Unaffectedness implies my understanding of facts. Understanding of facts implies understanding. Therefore, many things, you keep on coming to the class. I'm really very pleased that you are coming. But one more person when I have my class, I'm really pleased. I'm very, very pleased to have you in my class. Please do come. I do understand the difficulty involved in coming from all the way from Cambridge to this place. I'm really pleased. It really, you inspire me really. Therefore, please do come and keep on coming. Keep listening. Okay? We'll try to, I'll try to give you certain some other books and talks. Okay, which you can read. I can tell you which you should read first and second. I never told them. I just gave them. But I tell you. I tell you which you should read first. Okay, I just gave them the books. I didn't give you. Next class I tried to bring them books and then I'll tell you which you should start with. And then you read the books. And if you have any doubts in those books, you can ask me. You can go, do not read all the books together, one after the other. Then how many pages you are able to read, just read. If you have any doubts, you can always ask me. Okay, if you have doubts, you can email me or I can, even I'm a little slow, okay, I'm shuttling here and there, I'm not look into that. You can always ask when you come for the class, I can clarify doubts. And apart from that, you keep on attending these classes regularly, you see how it whether it helps or not. Is it okay?
It does help, thank you.
Okay.
Very useful.
Is it satisfactory, my answer for you?
Satisfactory, yes, thank you very much.
Can I ask you a couple of things?
Why a couple? Many?
Well, two of them were answered in your conversation. So.
Okay.
But you mentioned the word measure. I mean, Shankara, in fact, didn't he? He used the word measure for the senses. Can you explain a bit of what that really means?
The senses?
Yeah.
Matra.
Yeah, you say that the senses, contact with the sense powers and the sense objects is also called measuring.
No. See, when the sense organ comes in contact with the sense object, okay, the object becomes known. Okay, that means for the object to be known, it is dependent on the sense organ. Okay, to be known means what? To be well understood. To be well understood means to be known through thick and thin. To be known through thick and thin, to be measured correctly, appropriately. Not more than what the object is, not less than what the object is, not what exactly the object is.
But you see, often.
So that the appropriate measurement implies perfect knowledge, clear knowledge. The word measuring, there means the clear understanding, clear knowledge. Okay? That's why it's called matra.
But that will depend on the condition of your understanding. I mean, if you are vague or if you are not very, if your mind is very busy, and if you see something, the seeing is not very clear, or if you hear something,
is with reference to something which is object of thought, okay, subtle. With reference to gross objects, it's not nothing to do with the mind actually. Either it's the problem is with the sense, of the means of knowledge. Suppose that my eyes have some problem. I can say it is, suppose purple in color. I have some problem with my eyes. I can say it is blue, very slight, the color blindness is possible. I can say, red also. The problem is with my eyes, not with the mind, understanding. The knowledge, wrong knowledge can take place because of the problem with the instrument of knowledge, not with the mind. The knowledge is always clear. Okay. Suppose the object of the thought, the object of perception, if it is available for thought perception, not for sense perception, something very subtle, then that understanding may be sometimes depends upon. There again, always knowledge will be very clear. For example, headache. You say you have headache. When you say I am wearing a brown shirt, I can see the color. It is gross perception. It's available for sense perception. I have headache, you say. I can only understand what headache is. I don't see it through physical eyes. It's available for thought perception, not for sense perception. Then there is possibility. Even then, knowledge is always correct. It's always the problem. If problem is with the instrument of knowledge, not with the knowledge. As you said, mind being instrument of knowledge again, it is distracted. Then again, the knowledge can be wrong. But generally, knowledge takes place. Knowledge is a thought. Okay? Thought. And not only knowledge takes place, suppose experience. Knowledge in the sense what? Experience is knowledge. Okay? Any experience is knowledge. There's knowledge of pain, there is knowledge of pleasure. That knowledge is experience of pain, experience of pleasure. That just takes place when the senses come in contact with the sense objects. See, if the senses do not contact the objects at all, how can there be any experience? I started with the deep sleep state experience. I started with that. Why? Because in deep sleep state, why there is no sukha-dukkham? Because there is no contact. The object of world is not experienced, not known.
That was another question, really, because the sukha-dukkha is...
So sukha-dukkham is not... Sukha-dukkham is not caused by anything else. Sukha-dukkham are already there. Dukkham is already there. Sukham is... See, again, it's a very subtle thing. Okay? It's a different outer topic now. So let me come back to you. Sukham and dukkham, nothing is newly created. It only surfaces. Sukham surfaces, dukkham surfaces, which is already there, already latent, dormant, okay? It only surfaces. Dukkham only surfaces. It's only triggered, so it surfaces. For it to be triggered, the situation becomes nimittam, instrumental. What is nimittam here? If the senses should come in contact with the external sense object.
Yes, it was the other thing you were saying about elation and dejection.
Mm.
Without your, I think the commentary for what the last verse was saying that to have it pain and pleasure, devoid of elation and dejection, if my memory is right. So,
when endure them means, see, enduring, I told already, you are helplessly enduring. Understand? You're enduring. But how do we endure? We endure them complaining, or we endure them without complaining. That is the difference there. But you don't complain if you look at them with sameness of mind. Okay? Enduring them with sameness of mind, then you don't complain means, I mean, there's no elation when pleasure is there. Because you know the nature of the pleasure also is some punyam I have. Because the punyam, it has come and it is there for some time, definitely it's going to end. Anything which has a beginning has an end. Therefore, and dukkham also is there. I don't know what part of that is. What karma I did sometime, don't know when it is, but there is a cause for it. So dukkham has come, it's also going to come. It's also going to go away. Both, it is the nature of it. It's a fact, because Shastram says it. I know it. No pleasure is permanent. No pleasure, pain can be permanent, because anything which comes into being should come to an end. That is the nature of things here. Which has a beginning should have an end. So pleasure has a beginning, pain has a beginning, because pleasure and pain both are dependent on the both are experiences dependent on the senses coming in contact with the sense objects, which has a karma, which again a function, which has a beginning, which has an end. Therefore, everything comes to an end. Once I understand the nature, then I really don't get elated as a mature person. Don't get elated. Like as a child, as an immature child, the chocolate is given, it becomes elated. When something goes wrong, it cries. It's very childish, the child's behavior, it is we call it immature behavior. Why? Because something desirable comes, child is elated. Something undesirable, then a child cries, weeps, makes great scene there. The dejection, okay? It is immature, we look at childish, Child's behavior, proper child's behavior, then immature behavior. Okay, the same thing, but once you know what it is, Now, understanding of the fact helps you accept the fact. Once you accept it as a fact, then you remain unshaken by it. You remain calm. There's no elation. And definitely, you're not shaken, afflicted by it. You remain unaffected. There is no dejection. I mean, you don't become broken-hearted.
Mm.
Just take it. Okay. Comes and goes. That is what is implied there. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, because pain and pleasure are really a personal view. I mean, heat and cold, you can measure. But sometimes a cool or cold situation gives me pleasure. Sometimes a cold or cool situation.
Yeah, anything. See, pain can be desirable sometimes. Sorry, chillness can be desirable sometimes. Yeah. Heat can be desirable sometimes. That's what I'm saying. What is desirable at one time will not be desirable at another time.
Mm.
I told about this climate condition of India and this country. Understand? People in India complain about the heat, and here people want heat now in winter. Okay, even here we won't like heat too much of heat. Okay, in summer. So what I'm saying, what is desirable, you know, and what is, there's always in paths of desirable and undesirable. And they come and go. There'll be winter and there'll be summer. There'll be day, there'll be night. We can't expect the 24 hours to be the day, 24 hours to be the night also. There'll be both, maybe longer days and short nights. Shorter days and longer, but that's probably in here, India, no. 12 hours night, 12 hours, okay. We have those, some like that. So these things, they come and go.
Well, it seems to me that all the pleasure and pain are mental, completely mental. Cold and heat are not, or heavy and light
in
are
fact,
not.
In fact, why I'm saying cold and heat are gross things, what is experience, okay? Physically, in fact, all the physical experiences result in what ultimately? Reduced to what? Pain and pleasure.
Yeah.
That is why sukham, dukkham, we take two things. See, any physical pain, anything gross, okay, which anything external, can be reduced to what? Pain and pleasure. That is why she uses samadukkha sukhe yasya. Yes, Shita Ushne Samam Yesa, he didn't say. Okay? Mana Apamanam Same, Mana Apamane Same Yesa, he didn't say. Jaya Parajaya Samo Yesya, he didn't say. He didn't say that. But because all these facts of opposites can be reduced to two things, Sukham and Dukkham. Pain and pleasure. They are emotional, they are mental. Pain and pleasure are mental, definitely. Understand? So physical pain also is what? Becomes a mental pain. That's why we say sukha dukkha means mentally. That is why we always talk about the strength means what? Where is strength?
Mental.
Emotion, strength is emotional we need. Physically we are quite heavy, okay? We are quite strong. Who is it? We can push 10, now we can push even any boxer. We are quite strong. Physically, we are strong. Mentally, we are strong. We are strong physically. If you are not strong mentally, even if you are, 100 kilos, who cares? You are the weakest person. Strength is always measured in terms of mental strength.
Yes, on this topic.
Okay.
You said before that whatever is experienced presents itself or surfaces as either sukha or dukkha.
Yes.
Is that part of one's prarabdha?
That is prarabdha.
That is prarabdha. Okay.
Prarabdha palam, yeah.
Because, I'll tell you why I ask. Because
you can always ask anything. I have reason. I understand why you ask. Tell me.
Well, I want to be clear, because if Anna was to put some sandwiches here,
okay,
and they had mayonnaise in them,
okay,
for me, but for him, perhaps, ooh,
yeah,
yes, So it's not the mayonnaise that's presented. The mayonnaise doesn't present it, the sukha dukkha. It's something here.
Excellent, yeah.
But the activity that's come about has within it this like and this like.
Yeah.
I see.
See, suppose what is desirable for him, okay, may not be desirable for you.
Mm-hmm.
Then what is undesirable for you, okay, is a pain, causes pain for you.
Mm-hmm.
For him it is causes pleasure. For him it's a pleasure, for you it is pain. It is your two different prarabdha phalam. For both of you, one situation becomes nimittam. For you both to go through your prarabdhas, which surfaces as pain or pleasure. That is why I said once, very subtly said, pain and pleasure are not created. It's already there. It only surfaces, I said. They're not created. They only surface.
Yeah,
for which the external situation becomes nimittam, instrumental, I said.
That's clear.
Mm.
Now.
Then you said that whatever, suppose, about the bread business, I said. The same thing. What is there? For him, what elates him?
Yes.
Okay? Can really...
Yes.
Make you run away from that.
So that is clear.
Mm.
But then, in response to another question, the word samskara was alluded to, rather than prarabdha. You said no, it's prarabdha. What is the difference between prarabdha? I thought prarabdha was a form of samskara. No. Okay. Please explain. Yeah. I've got it near. It's wrong. What is samskara then? Is it something?
See,
or is it
samskara is a masculine gender word. Samskritihi is an equivalent feminine gender word. Samskaranam is an equally neuter gender word. Samskaranam. Samskriti, samskaraha, which means refinement. Refinement. Refinement means, I tell you one thing. I give an example. Suppose your son is an excellent, he plays guitar very well now. And your other son is not interested in guitar. Suppose we had two sons, okay, I don't know. If we have a son, and one is interested in guitar, one is not interested in guitar. One is not only interested, all the time he is interested in guitar. And he plays very well. How is it in the same family, one person is not interested, one person is interested? Not he is simply interested, he excels in that. He is a famous guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And overnight, suddenly, one cannot become a guitarist. Just because he's born as your son,
sure.
he cannot become a guitarist.
Sure.
Suppose maybe even if your grandfather, great-grandfather, you or some great-great-grandfather might have been a guitarist in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Even then he cannot become, overnight a person cannot become a guitarist. No, he was the inclination to learn guitar, to pursue that knowledge, to be committed to that, to practice it and to develop it and to excel in it, He must have started even before.
Sure. Thank you.
Understand.
He must have done some
work and he must have really achieved some level of progress in that.
Yes.
Must have progressed to some extent.
Yes.
That must have got disconnected. Again, inclination being there already. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is called samskaraha. He must have worked for it much earlier. And okay, so already there, the inclination is unseen, it's there, it's very subtle. And that expresses that there's a situation where the always samskara, he is always placed in a situation where his samskaram can be pursued, continued. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, he has that learning, that discipline has helped him to become a refined person.
Okay.
Okay, it's a discipline.
Yeah.
See, the more you learn anything, the more it, you are disciplined, the more you become refined.
So it is. It is then the refining karma phala.
Yeah.
Because that is karma phala, is it not? The fact that he practiced much before, in perhaps in other
lifetimes. It is not that. It is the phalam, we can say. Phalam, we can say. But some karma phalas do not really make a refined person. It's so not.
Some karma phala is not sanskara.
No, no, what I'm saying, listen carefully here. Yeah. See, the perfection. The more you practice, the more perfect you become. Mm-hmm. The more you practice, the more perfect you become. The more and more perfect. Okay, better you. The more you excel, the more perfect you become. The more refined is your karma you do. That serves the karma phala. That is samskara. Samskara is different. They say paradha phalam. Just the pain and pleasure you experience is paradha. It is a samskara. See, samskaram is the refinement in some karma which has been being done. Karma phalam, samskara is karma phalam in fact, but it's not a paradha. What is paradha is just the pain and pleasure which come as a result of some karma, punya papa, which is experienced in the form of pain and pleasure, which happened in the form of a thought is paradha. Paradha should not be mistaken, samskara should not be mistaken for karma phala. Is it clear?
Yes, like the word sanskrita. Perfectly sure.
Yes. See, samskara means, see, the more refined, suppose, it's really wonderful, no? Suppose the person, he might have learned something, he is more refined, and suppose he you can see always the performance differs. The better performance. The more and more and more and more it becomes refined. The musicians also are like that. More refined. The work becomes more refined, more, you know, cultured. So that refinement is because of the constant practice. How much time you put. So we say practice makes the man perfect means what? The more you do, the more refined you become, the more efficient and proficient you become, subtler you present. Whether it is grass work or subtle work, anything. So we say practice makes the man perfect, we say. See, that means like practice in even grass work, anything very physical, manual work. And it's all an art, you say, any learning, any study, in fact, it's a discipline. No, it refines. It also contributes for the refinement, makes the mind subtle. See, the more, the better you're able to do well, the more you're able to do well, the more disciplined you become, mentally also. Because of discipline, it contributes, any learning paves way for mental refinement, maturity. That is why all these arts we say. Okay, mental refinement, and it becomes more refined. The more you practice, the more refined it is. And that is the karma phalam, I don't say no. But this paradham also is karma phalam. But this only experience, sukha dukkha anubhava is paradha. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
The refinement of karma, refinement in karma, excellence in karma, perfection karma, should not be mistaken for the sukha dukkha phalam.
Good, thank you.
Is it clear?
Yeah,
I think, Jean, I'm sorry, because all of you have some understanding, samskara. I think now it is clear. Is it clear enough for you? I think he made understand why you asked the question samskara.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Is it clear now? Samskara should be understood only with reference to the refinement,
yes.
The betterment, the refinement, the progress, the perfection. Perfection in action should be understood as samskara.
But both prarabdha and sanskara are karma phala, purva karma karma phala.
Yeah.
I think that's where.
No, samskara means already you had some connection there.
Purva karma.
Which is there and which surfaces. Samskara means because of your past samskara means past samskara involvement before.
Past efforts of refinement.
See, because of the Pura Samskara, we always say this, Pura Samskara, all of you, because of Pura Samskara, you are interested in Vedanta. Nobody can push you to Vedanta classes. Your past Samskara, your connection.
Yes, there can be this
samskara, life. I say, because of your past connection. The word Samskara implies your past connection with, okay, the what you are doing in present life, being connected to your past life, past, okay, is samskara. But phalam, going through pain and pleasure, is prarabdha. See, samskara implies stands for the present life is connected to your past life.
Yeah. But prarabdha is a punya papa issue, and yeah, samskara is not necessary.
Samskara generally, the whole life. See, all that you are interested in now
is a practice issue.
Samskara. See, what are all the things you are inclined to do? Even you are going to Spain.
How did you know?
The whole jagat talks about it. See, why does he go to pleasure? Because there is some pleasure in him. There is some pleasure. Some aesthetic pleasure, maybe something. Something it draws him there. If there is no pleasure, why should he go? Okay, there is some pleasure. There is punya karma phalam. It is not the pain. With punyam is there, some sambandha is there.
The pleasure, the...
Parabdha. This parabdha.
Okay. It is linked to activity. It doesn't just happen in isolation. He takes his pleasure.
Yeah.
In paradha. Spain.
Going to Spain is nimittam. Okay? The pleasure is... It is object of pleasure for him. For the pleasure is his parabdha.
Yeah. Now I have a question about that. Because it's natural to want to avoid painful circumstances. Now you're explaining pain in a rather different way than normally understood, because you're saying the pain and the pleasure surface and the cause is more or less incidental. I mean, it's connected, but
nimittam, yeah.
So
instrumental, I said.
Instrumental.
The situation becomes instrumental, and the pain and pleasure to be triggered into surface.
So. Does that mean that it's therefore completely a waste of time to try and avoid, say, painful circumstances?
No.
Because if this circumstance doesn't do it, then it's implicit in what you're saying, or it could be implicit, that another circumstance will give you the same... If the pain is already going to arise in some form or other...
You do something, you cannot help, okay?
Yeah.
So we cannot remain quiet. We do something definitely to get rid of pain. We do something. By time, that period of time pain goes, pain disappears. We do something and we think, okay, because I did something, pain has gone. That will happen. That does happen. But we can't remain quiet. We will do something. That is how life keeps going.
But it always looks as if there's a cause and effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like, because I've taken this action, the pain is
gone. Sometimes Dishta Palam will be there. That pain, which is triggered by a situation, which is already there, which surfaces, and that pain you get rid of by doing something a person also.
About talking about avoiding something. Supposing every time I see Alan, I get annoyed. Okay. So then I will say, okay, I'm not going to go anywhere where Alan is. Is that according to what you're saying, it could be thought that that's a waste of time, because that the pain is going to come out some other way.
Too many points.
Do you see?
Yeah. Yeah, pain, see, water pain is there, the surface, and for which it waits for proper, appropriate situations to get.
To function through.
Yeah. Pain is always old.
Old, is it?
Pain is always
old.
Old. Not age-wise, okay?